bit. Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
There is a presidential election taking part in America. The vote is on the 8th of November, not the 28th of November as Donald Trump thought it was recently. Dr. Anthony Ashbolt from the University of Wollongong has been following this, and our apologies to you, Anthony. It's probably driving you completely potty following this election, but we're keen to get your take on where it's at now. Tass and I were talking earlier. Is it still possible, or is it possible, that Donald Trump could win?
Look, good morning. It's not driving me potty at all. It's a fascinating election in many ways, if a little bit strange. Is it possible that Donald Trump could win? But the direct answer to that is very unlikely. All the signs are that his campaign has simply exploded and imploded, and that he hasn't got the wherewithal to recover from this. You know, some commentators are asking why Hillary didn't go in for the killer blow, as it were, in the second debate. There's a sense in which she didn't need to, because the campaign is in tatters. Too many Republicans have fled the fold, and it's not impossible, and you know, many commentators have misread the signs that have been out there beforehand, saying, for example, that Trump could not possibly become the candidate for the Republican Party. But those commentators had misread signs that were fairly clearly there in the American political landscape, signs of political polarization, signs that people were willing to sort of sell their souls to celebrity politics, as it were, signs that there was a degree of disenchantment with liberal elites and with the standard political operators, and Hillary Clinton is seen to be one. So all the signs were there for something, and support for the Tea Party, Republicans, etc. All the signs were there that would suggest that someone like Trump could come to the fore. But the problem is that his political persona has unravelled in the last few weeks, particularly.
Are you referring to the locker room talk? And
The crunch was the video, but of course the strange thing is that video and other stories that have followed that video, the radio interview, you know, conversations with Howard Stern, yeah. The blatant misogyny on display was actually on display anyway earlier on in the campaign, and this just, you know, it was just the final straw, as it were, that revealed his deep misogyny. And other things. The first debate, for example, you know, drove home quite clearly his kind of white supremacist position. It's paradoxical, I suppose, as a number of my students have pointed out, that a video basically involving his talk about his relationships in inverted commas, his groping of white women, is the thing that did him in. If he talks negatively about Mexicans or Muslims or blacks, that didn't have the same resonance.
How interesting.
Can I ask, Dr. Ashbolt, the really interesting thing in this is that, and Tass and I were discussing this earlier, as the Republican Party, you know, I'm not going to call them the elites, but the leaders of the Republican Party, the Paul Ryans, the O'Connells, and, you know, Donald McCain, etc.,
John McCain,
I keep wanting to say Donald Duck, are all saying, you know, we're not going to vote for Trump, the man's deplorable, blah, 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 which, of course, he is, but the people that are really rusted onto Trump, and amazingly a huge number of women. I did see an extraordinary piece on the news about women for Trump. And all that the criticism, when the Republican Party criticises Trump, these people become even more committed to him because they're so disengaged but so annoyed and so pissed off with politics as we know it. So it's really it's the people that aren't that are voting for Trump, the ones that are voting for Clinton, it's the ones in the middle that he's got to get so many of them to get him across the line, and I can't see how he can do it.
But I think
he certainly can't do that. And look, I mean, one has to. Hillary Clinton made a strategic error in talking about the, you know, half of the people who back Trump are deplorable.
The basket of deplorable.
But I mean, statistically, one just has to look at America and be honest about the makeup of its political culture, and there is a degree of racism, as well as misogyny in American society, that is being revealed in the support for Trump. There are also many people who don't see that within
Trump. Do you believe that this is systematic and endemic
in American society?
Yes, yes.
Certainly.
I mean, I don't understand is how the Republicans didn't actually do their due diligence and uncover all of this on Trump before they actually endorsed him and backed him the way they did.
Because you look at all the candidates for the Republican Party, and they were all extreme in one way or another.
Yes, of course.
You go into their politics, you go into their, you know, you go into his vice presidential pick, and of course he's a fundamentalist Christian with reactionary views about abortion, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, the Republican Party had become essentially what some commentators have called an outlier in the American political system, basically a party that wasn't going to operate as a standard political party. Mm. Did operate in the American political system up until the rise of, say, the Tea Party. The Republican Party had become a party that was just, as the journalist Thomas Frank, the great journalist Thomas Frank, calls it, a wrecking crew, wanting to take apart government at every, you know, in every possible way, wanting to, you know, drill holes in the whole system wanting to virtually, you know, to essentially, as Frank puts it, wreck the apparatus of government and oppose anything that the Democrats come up with, no matter what. And you get this manifested in extreme ways by people who are, you know, talking about the smell of sulfur that exudes from Barack Obama.
Oh, I know, yes.
You know, and Hillary Clinton. I mean, you get those bizarre manifestations, but then there are different levels of that of that display of, you know, these people should not be there in office, whether they're, particularly if they're blacks or women. And that ideology goes right through the Republican Party, but is sometimes expressed in softer terms. Sometimes it's hidden or camouflaged in various ways. And it also, sadly, digs into a deep well of resentment that can be found for all sorts of reasons, and some of them very logical, within the white working class male constituency who feel that their future is no longer guaranteed in the way that it once was.
Anthony, let's assume that your prediction is correct and the Republicans do not manage to get their preferred candidate up, Donald Trump.
Yep.
What does this mean for the Republicans going forward? Will they have to, you know, self-reflect, reevaluate their position and start to sort out some of those issues around xenophobia, sexism, homophobia, misogyny, etc.?
I would imagine that would be the case, but it's really dependent not just upon the presidential election, but how things pan out
in the Congress,
in the Senate and the House in particular. I mean, a few weeks ago, I, like many other commentators, were saying, well, of course, the House isn't in contention. One of the reasons it wasn't in contention, people are now talking about it quite seriously, is that Republican governors across America have gerrymandered the states.
Yeah.
Such that it's very hard for the Democrats to get up in the House. But people are now even talking about that being a possibility.
Mm.
Now, if that happened, then certainly the Republican Party would have to go beyond simply soul-searching and really do a root and branch clean out of its structure, of its
you
ideology,
would think so.
of the way it's developed in the past, particularly since the rise of the Tea Party. But that's going to be very difficult to do. I mean, there's a sense in which the Republican Party has, I suppose I'll put it as bluntly, as dug its own grave. by the apparatus sitting back and watching. I mean, we're dealing with a party that not only is the party historically of Lincoln, it's well beyond that, of course, but we're dealing with a party that was able to negotiate, that was able to compromise. It wasn't just a wrecking crew that that had some basis within the American political system, and that party has disappeared. Will it recover? It's going to be very difficult for it to recover, and will require such a massive clean out. I don't see it happening over the next few years. It sort of cements the future of the Democratic Party within the American political system. But there is another scenario, of course, and that is increasing political polarization.
Let's assume Trump loses and loses badly. The Republicans maintain, a healthy number of seats in the Congress and a healthy number of senators. I'm not sure about a majority. But I suspect if Trump loses badly, the Republican establishment will just go, well, we told you, the guy's a lunatic. You know, the guy's a misogynist. You know, blah, blah, blah.
Look,
that's why we lost.
Yep, sure.
And, when someone like Paul Ryan, and we, some of us have short memories, I mean, Paul Ryan has some pretty frightening views.
Yeah.
And, when someone like Mitt Romney looks like a reasonable man because he's attacking Trump.
Yeah.
We need to remember that these people have said the most appalling things. Romney about whatever percentage of the population were all passengers. Racist remarks. Their lack of any tolerance for gender or sexuality. They suddenly look reasonable because they're attacking Donald Trump.
Sure,
but they're the basis of the Republican Party. I mean, they are a basket of deplorables.
that is part of the problem. Does the party have the ability to self-reflect in a way that which would lead to a kind of a clean out, a purging of its worst elements? And you've just answered that. No, I mean, it's because its worst elements are found in people who now look moderate in comparison comparison to Trump. And one only needs to see look at the sort of contradictions that exist within Trump. I mean, on the one hand, railing against the elites, on the other hand, calling for tax cuts to the rich.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. But it's part of that sort of contradictory weaving in and out of a political narrative which appeals to some elements of the Republican Party and also appeals to the disenchanted. And unfortunately, a lot of those disenchanted can't see that it is a massive contradiction and that we've got a campaign, I suppose, where Trump does stand out, even in comparison with some of the other bad Republicans, ideologically. But where Trump stands out is that, he can't open his mouth without lying.
Yeah.
Or making a complete and utter fool of himself.
At the same time as lying, yes.
We've actually, I've tweeted him from the Saturday Magazine tweet a number of times, inviting him to come on, but he hasn't replied. It's very disturbing. I really thought he would have, because he did tweet that he loved Australia and Australians love Americans or something earlier in the week, but he hasn't come on. He hasn't come on the show yet. It's very disturbing.
So, Anthony, you've pretty much called us. What do you expect the result to be? And what do you think will occur beyond that?
What do I expect the result to be? I expect it to be a decisive victory for Clinton. Probably a greater electoral college victory than Obama's last time, probably.
Wow.
But at least, I mean, because even before the recent events sort of led to the campaign exploding and imploding, as I put it earlier, at the same time, coming apart at the seams and the media finally ganging up on Trump, because the media did fuel Trump early on.
They certainly did.
The media basically
they seem to have turned on him now.
What was that, sorry?
They seem to have turned on him now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's a decisive break. And up until that time, and after the first debate, the polls were beginning to reflect a clear pattern whereby Clinton would at the very least achieve what Obama achieved in the Electoral College and probably in the popular vote last time also. I think we're beyond that stage now, and I think we'll see a much more decisive victory in the both the Electoral College and the popular vote. But the political polarisation is such, the tensions within the American political culture are such that my predictions must be qualified with a kind of an anything can happen from here, but I would suspect that Clinton will win decisively.
Thank you very much, Anthony.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Expert, Dr. Anthony Ashbolt from the University of Wollongong, Saturday Magazine with Macca and Tass.
And Josh, course, on the buttons.
Josh on the buttons and dials.
Let's just hope, Anthony, that if he does win, I've got Elon Musk's number. We'll get on that first shuttle to Mars.
It won't be as disastrous as that because we're surrounded by others, but we haven't got a chance to go into that detail.
Yeah, that's right. Look, thanks for your time, and we'll speak to you again probably the week or so before the election to get your take on it.
Not a problem.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you. See you.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.